This is podcast number 24 for the Well-Educated Mother's Heart. I'm Marlene Peterson, and today I'm sharing lessons from Spain in Don Quixote. I thought I'd spend a little time today talking about the best-selling novel of all time, with an estimated 500 million-plus readers. It's been translated into more languages than any other book save the Bible, which speaks to its universal appeal to all people everywhere. But especially I recommend it to you because it may be one of the most important books the well-educated child's heart can fall in love with, because it speaks of the importance of dreams in fighting the battles of life and of joy in the journey despite battle scars and wounds. The book is Don Quixote by Cervantes, who lived in Spain. Cervantes wrote the book over 400 years ago. He died in 1616, the same year as Shakespeare. He had an adventurous soul, just like his man from La Mancha. At age 24, he went off to fight in a war against the Turks, a venture that cost him the use of his left hand. 4 years later, when he was sailing home, his ship was captured by Barbary pirates, and he was taken to Algiers, where he was forced into slavery for 5 years, until his family and friends could raise enough money to ransom him and bring him home. He had literary aspirations, but they didn't pay the bills. Like many of our modern vets, he sought compensation for the service rendered his nation, but there was none. He found a job for a while as a purchasing agent for the Spanish Armada, and later as a tax collector. Some irregularities in his bookkeeping were found that landed him in prison. He was also in prison for debts he couldn't pay. It was while he was in prison that Don Quixote was born, a fitting place to learn a truth he included in his book, for he wrote, "Liberty is one of the most precious gifts that heaven has bestowed upon mankind." The book that made him immortal was birthed while his family lived in wretched conditions. Don Quixote was a dreamer, much like Cervantes himself. The realists around Don Quixote thought he was insane. His modest home was filled with books about knights and chivalry, which he read and read and read until he fancied himself a knight errant, called to right the wrongs of the world. He reminds me of a little piece called The Dreamers by Herbert Kaufman. Dreamers are the architects of greatness. Their vision lies within their souls. They never see mirages of fact, but peer beyond the veils and mists of doubt and pierce the walls of unborn time. The world has accoladed them with jeer and sneer and jibe, for worlds are made of little men who take but never give, who share but never spare, who cheer a grudge and grudge a cheer. Where the paths of progress have been sobs of blood dropped from their broken hearts. Makers of empire, they have sought for bigger things than crowns and higher seats than thrones. Fanfare and pageant and the right to rule or will to love are not the fires which wrought their resolution into steel. Grief only streaks their hair with silver, but has never grayed their hopes. They are the Argonauts, the seekers of the priceless fleece, the truth. Through all the ages, they have heard the voice of destiny call to them from the unknown vasts. They dare uncharted seas, for they are the makers of the charts, with only cloth of courage at their masts, and with no compass save their dreams, they sail away undaunted for the far, blind shores. Their brains have wrought all human miracles. In lace of stone, their spires stab the old world skies, and with their golden crosses kiss the sun. A flash out in the night leaps leagues of snarling seas and cries to shore for help, which, but for one man's dream, would never come. Their tunnels plow the riverbed and chain the islands to the motherland. What would you have of fancy or of fact if hands were all with which men had to build? Your homes are set upon the land a dreamer found. The pictures on its walls are visions from a dreamer's soul. A dreamer's pain wails from your violin. They are the chosen few, the blazers of the way, who never wear doubt's bandage on their eyes, who starve and chill and hurt, but hold to courage and to hope, for they know that there is always proof of truth to them who try, that only cowardice and lack of faith can keep the seeker from his chosen goal. But if his heart be strong, and if he dream enough and dream it hard enough, he can attain no matter where men failed before. Walls crumble, and the empires fall. The tidal wave sweeps from the sea and tears a fortress from its rock. The rotting nations drop from off time's bow, and only things the dreamers make live on. They are the eternal conquerors. Their vassals are the years. Now I would add, the world and the realists often call them crazy. Don Quixote teaches us that perception is everything. The way we choose to see the world is how it shall be. A donza is not a tavern prostitute. She is Dulcinea, a maiden of such exquisite beauty and purity that Quixote would rather die than deny her. He believes in her so much that she finally believes in herself. He sees giants in windmills and formidable armies of enemies in sheep. He blunders and fails, and the realists mock and ridicule. But because of his dream, because he has something worth fighting for, he relishes the struggles in the pursuit of his dreams. Maybe I love this knight errant so much because I, too, have always been a dreamer. I don't remember the context of the conversation, but I remember one day my daughter said to me, "Mom, stop smooshing your dreams into my reality." When our 8 children were young, we made a daring and impractical move to Colorado from Utah. It was a feeling we had to go there. It made no sense. We didn't have the means. A side note, yes, we have 9 children, not 8. Our 9th child falls between our last 2 daughters. She was born to another mother who raised her for her first 11 years, but now she's very much ours. Anyway, she's not part of the 8 children I just mentioned because we didn't meet her until we got to Colorado. And you know, in retrospect, maybe our move there was to find her. Anyway, we were told we were fools to do what we did. Everything was an uphill battle. Everything went wrong. A few years later, we were destitute and heavily in debt. In fact, things got so bad we were facing eviction from our rented home. We had exhausted every avenue. We had tried everything we knew to do. I had no idea where to turn. I started calling campgrounds to see if there were somewhere we could pitch a tent that we could afford. But we couldn't even afford that. But I never stopped dreaming, and I know that's what kept me moving forward. A few months earlier, we had gone to some model homes, and I found my dream home. It was 6,000 square feet and so spacious and open with lots of bedrooms for our large family. I could envision living there. I dreamed of living in a home like that. Most of my kids will remember, I think, the little bank I brought home one day. It looked like a giant pencil, but it had a place at the top to drop coins in. The name of the home I loved was The Crescendo, and so I said this little bank was for our crescendo dream. We all loved the home. So I said, "Let's drop our extra pennies in here and we'll start saving up." Ridiculous, huh? An impossible dream? Well, when someone had some loose change, it went in there, in the little bank. That never amounted to very much, but it was always a visual reminder of the dream. And I never let the dream die, no matter how bad things got. Well, in the middle of the disaster, when I was calling campgrounds, I remember I was vacuuming and an idea popped into my head of something we could do that was so clear and made so much sense that I ran and told my husband, and he got excited too. I remember it was prom time, and of course we couldn't afford to buy a prom dress, so I was trying to sew one up for my daughter. I'd taken a part-time job during the day to bring in a little income, so the only time I had to sew was at night. I remember my husband and I worked straight through the night for the next 24 hours, putting into action this plan that had come to my mind. He worked on laying out an advertising piece, and I'd sew a few seams in the other room and then come back to where he was working, and we'd talk through some ideas, and he'd work on them, and I'd sew some more. Long story short, within 2 weeks, I paid the rent, and within 6 months, not only were all our debts paid off, we were living in my dream home, the Crescendo. Realists would never have put a man on the moon. Realists would never have ventured across an unknown ocean or attempted to create a device by which I can instantly converse with someone on the other side of the world as if they're sitting right by me. Dreamers make the world move forward in spite of the naysayers and the scoffers and the doubters. The well-educated heart is about raising a generation of dreamers who don't see the world as it is, but as it can be, and by that dream to set out to right the wrongs and find beauty where others only see ugliness. As Cervantes wrote, "For neither good nor evil can last forever, and so it follows that as evil has lasted a long time, good must now be close at hand." And when life seems lunatic, who knows where madness lies? Perhaps to be too practical is madness. To surrender dreams, this may be madness. Too much sanity may be madness. And maddest of all, to see life as it is and not as it should be. To those who ridicule the dreamers and their seemingly failures and foibles, Cervantes would say, "Obviously you don't know much about adventures. The wounds received in battle bestow honor. They do not take it away." The greatest madness a man can be guilty of in this life is to let himself die outright without being slain by any person whatever or destroyed by any other weapon than the hands of melancholy. I love the Man of La Mancha. If you want to help your children love him, there's a version written by James Baldwin, who wrote so many of the wonderful children's books of the Golden Age of Literature, and I'll link it in the program notes. Or there are other children's versions suggested in the additional reading list. There are numerous movies made of him. Of course, the famous version is the musical version of Man of La Mancha. The live productions strike me the deepest. Keep your eyes out for a performance near you. Or there's the movie version starring Peter O'Toole. I will also link a Hallmark version starring John Lithgow. Don Quixote is called A Bible for Humanity. There's no better words to close this podcast than with the lyrics to the popular song, The Impossible Dream. To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go, to right the unrightable wrong, to love pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too weary, to reach the unreachable star. This is my quest. To follow that star, no matter how hopeless, no matter how far. To fight for the right without question or pause. To be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know, if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. And the world will be better for this, that one man, scorned and covered with scars, still strove with his last ounce of courage to reach the unreachable stars. Bye-bye. See you next time.